There is a difference between divergence, which is when rich countries grow more than poor countries, and the question of whether poor countries benefit from technology. On the whole, we would agree that they are likely to benefit from these technologies. What's less clear is that they would benefit as much as the rich countries do. So we think that the forces for divergence are quite strong.
Over the last couple of decades now, the narrative has been very positive about the demographic transition, especially in places like Africa. The worry, of course, now is with AI and the possibility that robots, automation could be replacing low-skilled workers. This potential will remain unfulfilled. My name is Cristobal Giorgio, and I'm chief in the Research Department's Development Macroeconomics Division.
And I'm Andy Berg. I'm a deputy director in the Institute for Capacity Development. And we deliver training and technical assistance around the world on macroeconomic policy.
And I'm Bruce Edwards. Welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. Artificial intelligence and robots are revolutionizing production processes. But what countries stand to gain most from these new technologies? Economists Andy Berg and Chris Papagiorgio are co-authors of a new study that looks at how the so-called AI revolution risks causing a great divergence.
So, Andy, let's start with you. Economists generally, at least in advanced economies, do see great potential in AI as a means to increase productivity. And given, you know, increasing productivity is something that developing countries really do need to do, why would AI not be equally beneficial for those countries?
Well, AI and the technologies that surround it, like robots and big data and so on, certainly are potentially very beneficial for developing countries, as with other countries. What struck us as we started to look at this is how focused everyone has been on advanced countries, where people have indeed concluded that there is great potential, but that even within advanced countries, there is all sorts of concern about what these technologies might do, not just to the people on average, but to various individuals. You know, and a general conclusion has been that while AI will increase productivity and therefore allow people to do more things, to consume more things, to live better, it will likely increase inequality. Now, what's remarkable really about the economic profession is how little attention has been paid to this question of what it means for developing countries. So we thought we would step back and think about the basic forces at play. And we think that there are some basic forces, some simple and kind of deep mechanisms that are going to make it harder for developing countries to catch up to rich countries.
So, Chris, the value of robots, at least in the early days, was their ability to do simple repetitive tasks more efficiently than people. What is the impact on the labor market as this technology evolves and robots become more nimble?
There is indeed so much attention paid to this question from books and scientific articles, public media, even movies these days. So today's technologies affect how we live, how we entertain ourselves, and of course, how we work. Automation is transforming the economy both in the manufacturing and the services sector. So there is a very lively debate on how automation impacts jobs and the economy. And in this debate, views vary widely. So at the one side of the spectrum, you find strong advocates of AI revolution pointing to massive productivity and welfare gains. And this is hardly a disputed fact that has been supported by the work of Robert Solow in the 50s and Paul Romer in the 90s. Both economists have been awarded the Nobel Prize for their contributions on the role of technology in growth. So this is the positive side. Yeah. At the other side of the spectrum, there are the skeptics who worry that technology would replace more and more skilled labor, as you mentioned, increasing unemployment that could spell trouble for the economy down the road. Unfortunately, labor markets and associated labor reforms aren't flexible enough to deal with the drastic changes in technology. Mm-hmm. And if we can't quickly reemploy the displaced workers, then we start worrying about rising inequality that Andy spoke about. The real challenge is to figure out smart policies which promote flexibility in the labor market, keep inequality in check, but at the same time do not stifle innovation progress, which is the key driver of productivity. I mean, this is certainly not trivial at all, and it is likely one of the key challenges the economics profession, along with policymakers, will be facing for the years to come.
I want to jump in here and disagree with my friend Chris a little bit, in the sense that, you know, it's true. Economists often say that with enough flexibility, things will be okay. I don't think that's the full story here. When we started to, you know, step back and look at these basic mechanisms I mentioned before, we actually assumed that markets are perfectly flexible, that the labor markets work perfectly. But what else did we assume? You know, we said, suppose you have a new kind of technology, a new kind of machine that substitutes more closely with labor than before, mm-hmm. than other types of machines. And let me give you an example of what I mean by that. Take a warehouse. You have what you might call traditional capital, which is the building and other things, the shelving. And then you have skilled labor, which is kind of the manager of this warehouse. And you have unskilled labor, which is all the people working in there, storing stuff and putting on trucks and so on. So then you introduce a new type of machine, which is a kind of a relatively smart robot that can do the work or a lot of the work of those unskilled workers. What's going to happen? What's going to happen is the skilled worker and the factory are going to become very valuable, because now they can take advantage not just of workers, but of these robots to get to be more productive. Mm-hmm. So skilled wages will go up and capital will be profitable. People will build more warehouses. But the unskilled workers, if they want to keep their job, they have to compete with these robots. So even in a perfectly flexible labor market, their wages will go down, at least relative to the skilled wages. Hmm. But then we said, what happens when you have two countries? One will, you know, rich and one poor. And what's the difference? There's, of course, lots of differences between poor and rich countries. But we wanted to be as, you know, simple as possible. So we thought a rich country is rich because it has kind of better, what we call total factor productivity. All that means is it's got more efficient institutions, more public capital, better roads, better courts, you know, maybe better management, you know, all sorts of things that are difficult to quantify maybe, but make it a rich country. Now, what happens in those countries is that wages are higher, right? So where wages are higher, the incentives to use these new robots are higher, right? So if you've got two warehouses, one in a rich country, one in a poor country, in the rich country, they're going to be quick to adopt these robots because wages are higher. In the poor country, not so much. So what happens then? If all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but over a pretty quick period, the robots get a lot better. And basically, that's what we think is going on now, broadly speaking, in the world.
But Andy, I mean, we spoke on this show only a couple of years ago about AI, and I remember you making the comparison then of the tractor and its effect on the agricultural sector, and how workers were very worried about the tractor, but it did all work out in the end. Agriculture became more productive, and people shifted their roles in the food production process. Why wouldn't this scenario play out in the same way?
Well, we do know that the agricultural sector shrunk a lot, and there were some permanent changes in the structure of the country, within the country, as a result of that big transition. Hmm. Here, if I could stick to this example for the moment with the warehouses, what's going to happen when the robots get better is that the rich country will make much more use of them. So output will go up more in the rich country. The fact there'll be more warehouses, there'll be cheaper transportation. The cost of goods will go down because the warehouses are bigger and more effective. And it'll benefit the rich country. In the poor country, where wages are very low, they're not going to use many robots. And so they won't benefit as much. So that's the first very basic, well, maybe the first two very basic lessons. These technologies, even though they may be available widely, are going to be taken up more by rich countries because labor is more expensive. And so they'll benefit more.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up my experience over the last 10 years. So during several IMF missions that I had participated, especially in Africa, about a decade ago, in places like Tanzania, Uganda, South Africa, I was quite impressed by this very consistent message authorities would deliver. You know, the promise of the emerging young labor force, by many coined as the Africa's demographic transition dividend.
I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, the demographic dividend. So you know, we in the past few years, we've talked a lot about this potential benefit for those countries. Does AI risk turning that dividend, that demographic dividend, as it's known, into a liability? And yeah, what do you suppose we can do about that?
Yes, indeed. So, over the last couple of decades now, the narrative has been very positive about the demographic transition, especially in places like Africa. And rightfully so. The story would be that by 2030, the labor force in Africa would be the youngest labor force that potentially could replace low-skilled activities in various sectors that are now done in Asia, for example. And so, you know, over the past few years, though, that optimistic narrative has gradually changed. And as you mentioned, the worry now is that automation could render this promise unfulfilled. So in fact, this is one of the points that in our new paper with Andy and co-authors, we underscore specifically that new technology risks are widening the gap between rich and poor countries by shifting more investment to advanced economies where automation is already established. So this could in turn have negative consequences for jobs in developing economies by threatening to replace rather than complement their growing labor force, which has traditionally provided an advantage to less developed countries. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is not very good news, and it has one important implication for policymakers. And this is, you know, now more than ever before, policymakers have to focus on this issue of raising productivity, and especially in this case, notably by improving education and the skills of the young workers.
So I don't think you look at this specifically in the study, but Chris, do you worry that this pandemic that we're living through right now may well push countries to accelerate the move toward more automation, as you know, the pandemic has exposed the vulnerabilities of the human labor force?
Absolutely. So that this is one of the worries that we have. And specifically when you look at it from the perspective of developing economies, because the only way we see developing economies having labor that is complementary to AI and robots and technology and automation is through higher education. And unfortunately, what we see is that while in advanced economies, it is likely that we will go back to normal quite soon because of all the supportive policies, both on the monetary and fiscal policy in developing economies, that's not going to be the case. And we have first evidence that one of the sectors that is most hit is the education sector, is schooling. And of course, this is not good news because, in fact, the policy for complementing with automation is to having higher education. Unfortunately, the pandemic is dealing the opposite shock for these low-income countries. So there's a huge concern that there will be divergence also because of loss of education across the next few years.
You know, this is a really interesting and complicated set of issues. One thing that is probably going on in this whole area and something we don't talk about in our paper is what you might call the path dependency of all this. You know, the technology, as it gets developed, is not developed randomly. It's developed in a certain context. So, for example, people work pretty hard to replace humans with machines in car parks, you know, in garages in developed countries. Because labor's expensive, it's cheaper to have a fancy machine there that takes your ticket. Once that technology is developed, maybe it could be used even in poor countries, where one would think that it doesn't make any sense to work on and building that kind of machine, but there it is. And so you can see that. So I think one thing that might happen in the context of this pandemic is that it is going to give at least a temporary impetus to working to automate certain types of activities that might have been done by workers who were in close contact with each other. You know, again, warehouses or meatpacking or many other such activities. And in that sense, it could accelerate this kind of automation effect, which would be problematic. And once you invent these machines, you don't uninvent them. You know, there are a lot of people who are excited about these technologies. I'm excited actually about these technologies, but I think it's really our job to worry about how it may go wrong and then to sort of to alert policymakers and start to think hard about what to do about it.
Chris, Andy, thanks so much to both of you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Andy Berg and Chris Papagiojo are both economists at the IMF, Berg a deputy director in the Institute for Capacity Development, and Papagiojo a division chief in the research department. You'll find their working paper on how AI may be causing divergence at imf.org. And look for other IMF podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing. You can also follow us on Twitter @IMF_podcast. Thanks for listening.